Begin the current daf and says, Subis daf tes. Begin at the bottom daf ches mebeis, on the bottom line, where the Gemara returns to the main topic of this parak as the Masechta opened up, that Besula nisus liyam revi, that Besula gets married on a Wednesday. And as we had already explained this, the purpose of this is what's known as tainis Besulam, and that is if, when he consummates the relationship, he finds out that she's not really Besula, we want him to be able to, before he cools down, to come to Beis Din the next morning and to be able to say that she wasn't the Besula. And that's because Beis Din, after Takana says, it was open on Mondays and Thursdays. So therefore, Wednesday, together with the idea of Shaktu, which we wanted 3 days to prepare for the Chasna, so Wednesday was the ideal day where the next morning he comes to Beis Din and he comes with the claim of Tainas Besula. Now, related to that, the Gemara brings the following discussion. Amr Abulazar, Abulazar says, we continue the type of Testament Alf. If the husband says that I found the entryway open. Now, that's a euphemism for saying that there were no besulim there. Now, there's two primary components what a chassan, after he consummates the relationship, could come and claim she wasn't a besula. One is, as Rabbi Elazar is saying, where he says it was open. There wasn't any hymen, which gets that's a membrane that blocks the passageway of consummating the relationship. So he claims that it was open. So that's what he's claiming, that she wasn't a besula. Now, Rashi points out an obvious question, which is what we had been mentioning on previous dafim, which is what's called the tainis damim, where if she's a besula, then they would have been dam besulim. But let that be the verification. Why is he complaining that she wasn't a besula by saying it was open? Let him just talk about the dam, which that's verifiable. And that Rashi says, no, either she's from what's called Mishpochas Dorkati, which the Gemara on the next daf will explain that it's a certain family that they didn't have Dam Besulim, so that wouldn't verify that she wasn't a Besula. Or actually that there was a mapa, there was a cloth that was utilized to verify if there was Dam Besulim or not, but it got lost. And now they don't know if it had Dam or not. But what's clear to the chassan, to the groom, to the new husband, is that he knows when he consummated the relationship that there wasn't any resistance, and therefore it was open. And he's saying that can't be, that she was a basula, must have been that she's a ba'ula. So again, that's why he didn't say tainis damim, either because she was from a certain family, or because it's that, or that actually there was a cloth, but it got lost, so they don't know, they can't verify if she was a basula or not, to know regarding when that membrane is punctured, that then that creates the blood, that can't be used. But he is claiming that it was pesuach. So that Rabbi Elazar says, nemu lo Yisrael lav. So what the husband is believed, he's believed to make the wife forbidden to him now for them to have, to maintain their relationship. Now, Rashi clarifies, although what he claims is not verifiable, there's no way to verify if that's true or not, if before, obviously, now that they consummate the relationship, of course it's going to be Pesuach. There's no way to verify if beforehand she was Pesuach or not. It's only based on his testimony. But he's believed regarding the halachas pertaining to himself, because that's a halachic terminology called Shavia Nafshe Chaticha Deisur, that a person is allowed to create something forbidden to him. He's believed regarding his own halachas that this is true, that this is forbidden. And he's saying that it was Pesuach, which means to say that he's not the first one that had relations with him. But Rashi obviously points out, according to Rabbi Elazar, he wouldn't be believed to make her lose her kasuba, which was that he was marrying her on the assumption that she was a basula. And he says, she wasn't a basula. Now, who's saying? He's saying that. So that you're not believed to go ahead. Of course, you just don't want to pay the kasuba. So that he wouldn't be believed. But as Rabbi Elazar is saying, is Nemelo Yisulav, he is believed to make her forbidden to him because obviously she had relations with someone else before him. Now, on this halacha of Rabbi Elazar, the Gemara asks, Vamai. Why is it that she becomes forbidden to him, even if we believe him? Which, obviously, regarding his own halachas, he's believed to say that she had bia, obviously, with someone else before. But why would that make her forbidden on him? As the Gemara explains, svekahu, it's a doubt, it's a, what's called a double doubt. There's not just a doubt if maybe she's forbidden to him, it's a double doubt, meaning there's less reason to assume that she's forbidden to him. As the Gemara explains, first of all, safek tachtav. Even if, like he's presenting, that she obviously had relations with someone beforehand, but maybe it was after they were engaged that she was mezanika. At least in Talmudic times, there was this big gap, like around a year's time from their engagement, which halachically should forbidden to other men, and of the chuppah, of the marriage. So in those 12 months, maybe then she was mezana, which, yes, that would make her aishas ish, that's forbidden on her husband. Safik ein tachtav, but maybe this, that she had a relation with another man, wasn't when they were engaged. Rather, it was before they got engaged, a few years before that she was mezana, that she had a relationship with another man. So that's one suffix. Now, and if you're going to say that it was, even if you're going to say that it was when they had their, when they were engaged, now, even in that suffix, that's what we call a svek sveker, in that side of the suffix, in that part of the equation that says that, okay, she will be forbidden because it was when they were engaged, but even in that suffix, there's another suffix that would say that it's not forbidden, because suffix b'yoinis, maybe, this, that when she was engaged with this man, she had a relation with another man, maybe she was forcibly violated by a man. Now, an anusa, a woman that was violated, is actually permitted to her husband, as the Gemara learns out later on from Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, from what's called Vehilo Nitfasa. If she wasn't forced and she had a relation with another man while she was married, then she's forbidden to her husband and to that man. But if she was an Aynes, then she's permitted. Now, Safik Baratzi, now, maybe it was done willingly. So since that's a Svek Sveka shouldn't be forbidden. It's only what's called a Safik Daraisa. Then we go L'chomer, when it's a doubtful in biblical halacha, you'll say that it's forbidden. But here, it's not even a Safik. It's a Svek Sveka. And therefore, why is she forbidden to her husband? Even if we believe him that she was a Ba'ula beforehand. But maybe it wasn't when they were engaged, maybe it was before, which wouldn't make her forbidden. Then she wasn't an Eshesesh. And even if it was when they were already engaged, maybe it was done, be honest, maybe she was forcibly violated, and therefore she's not forbidden to her husband. So that the Gemara answers two answers. Leit Tzricha actually is talking about that there's only one suffix. And that's why when you have a suffix deraisa, it's going to be stringent, she's going to be Yasser, because we're talking about Be'eshes Kayin. Talking about that it's the wife of a Kayin. A wife of a kohen that even when she's forcibly violated is forbidden to her husband, and therefore essentially is only one suffix, because the suffix of einus and ratzin is not part of the equation, because even if it's ba'einus, still she'll be forbidden to her husband. Or v'ba'isayim, if the Gemara says you could say it's talking about be'eshes Yisrael, it's even talking about a woman that's married to a non kohen, but there's still only one suffix. Going to kabel ba'avua kedushin, it's talking about that her father had made her engaged to this man when she was pusim bas gimel shel yom echad, when she was less than 3 years old. Now, Rashi points out that the case is talking about that now, after the chuppah, when they consummated the relationship, she was already a gedayla. So she was engaged from, let's say, age 2, and the nesuin, but the marriage only happened when she was, let's say, 14. Which, that's an important variable, because if she would have gotten married less than that age, less than 12, even if she was seduced, that would still be considered an oinus. So therefore, there wouldn't be any option of being beratzen, because a young girl that's being seduced, we don't say that she has the das to say that she was agreed, it's considered that she was forced. Now, but now that she got married, let's say by after or at age 12, let's say age 14, so in this case, when she was engaged from before age 3, there's only one suffix. What's the suffix? The suffix is, suffix be'inus. Maybe she was forcibly violated, which even after she's 12 or any age before 12 is considered inus. But suffix baratzen. Maybe, now let's say she's getting married when she's 14, 15, maybe when she was 13 and she's already an adult, before they already got married, when he consummates and sees that she had be already before, maybe she did it willingly. So that's one suffix, but the other suffix, which we call the svek sveka of maybe it was when they were engaged, but maybe it was before they were engaged, which is not a problem of Ashes Ish, that you cannot entertain. And the reason is because if she would have had Bia before they got engaged, which was before she was even 3, then her Besulim, her Hymen, actually would have come back. As Gemara says in Masechtas Nida, in the Mishnah of Memdal Mabez, that if a man has relations with a woman under the age of 3, it's like putting a finger in the eye where the tear comes out, but then another tear replenishes it. And that's the same thing with the besulim of such a young girl, where although if the besulim are penetrated, again, that would just come right back because she's so young. And therefore, there's no suffix of if it was tachtav or ain't a tachtav, because obviously it must have been tachtav, because she was engaged even before she was 3. And if she doesn't have her besulim now, which we believe him regarding his own halachas, because he sees that as pesuach, must have been at some time after age 3, And that was at a time when they were engaged, which makes her halachically an eshes ish. And therefore, now when it's consummating the relationship, there's only one suffix. Maybe it was ba'inis, maybe it was baratzin. For one suffix, when you have by a biblical halacha, it will be lachumra. And therefore, because we believe him regarding his own halachas, she'll be forbidden to him. So again, either it's talking about eshes kain, or even eshes yisrael that was engaged less than 3 years old. So that was Rebbe Elazar's halacha. Now the Gemara asks, "My kamash malan? What exactly is the chiddush? What is he teaching us, Rebbe Elazar, in this halacha?" And the reason is because Tanina, essentially the crux of his halachic chiddush, is already said in the Mishnah Maseches Kedushin. What? Because what was the crux of Rebbe Elazar's halacha? That a person is believed regarding himself to make something that essentially up until now we knew was permitted to him to be forbidden based on his own testimony, which here this woman that he's marrying, which for all practical purposes, she was a besula. He's claiming, and we have no witnesses, we have no verification, he's claiming she was a be'ula. And as we said, if it's talking about an eshes kayin, or talking about a girl that was engaged less than 3, then there's only one suffix, and that's a biblical halacha that you're going to have to go ahead and be forbidden to that person. But the crux of that is that we believe him regarding himself, but that we learn in the Mishnah Maseches Kedushin. The Mishnah says as follows, Ha'ima le'isha kadashticha. If a man says to a woman, I already had engaged you. She says, what are you talking about? We never got engaged. So the halacha is, he muteres b'kreivav. She's permitted in his relatives. In other words, because she doesn't agree that they were ever engaged. If she was engaged to him, then yes, you're forbidden to the relatives of the man you're engaged to. But she's saying, we were never engaged. Now, but for who? Asa b'kreiviv seha. He's forbidden in her relatives, meaning in her mother, her daughter, her sister, because based on the principle we said, because shaveh nafshe chaticha d'isur, he's allowed to make things forbidden to him. If he says this is a forbidden piece of food, well, if you're saying that, then of course it's forbidden to you. If you're saying you're engaged to this woman, then of course you're forbidden to her relatives. Now, the Gemara Maseches Kedushin says that the case must be talking about where the man says, I had engaged her in front of witnesses, but they went overseas. And the reason why you need such an interesting case is because or else it's not considered a valid kedushin and needs witnesses. But if it has witnesses, how could she claim that it never happened? If you have witnesses, so it must be talking about that he said that there were witnesses, but they went overseas. So again, so he's believed to say that it was a valid kedushin, but she's denying that, and therefore, she's permitted his relatives and he's forbidden her relatives. But one thing we already see the principle of shaveh nafshe chaticha d'isura from the Mishnah Maseches Kedushin. What do we need Rebbe Elazar to teach? That if he says she's a be'ula, and again, in the case of where it's just one suffix, that she'll be forbidden to him. So that the Gemara says, no, the chiddush of Rebbe Elazar is, ma detemu, we would have thought to say, hasama within the Mishnah Maseches Kedushin, devadai kimle, where he says, I know I engaged this woman, and therefore, of course, we'll say, shaveh nafshe chaticha d'isura. Aval hacha, but over here when he says, this newly married man says, Pesach Pesuch Mitzasi, I saw there was no resistance, I saw it was open. Maybe we would say, since up until now he was single, he's not proficient in these entities. Make him huduloi kimla. Maybe we would say, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He thinks it was open, but the truth is it wasn't. And therefore he didn't, he thought what he imagined it would be like, that it wasn't that expectation. But it really wasn't the case, and maybe it was really she was a besula, and there were besulim over there, and therefore she wouldn't be forbidden to him. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush Rebbe Elazar. Yes, maybe he doesn't really know so well what he's talking about. But if he's claiming that it was open, therefore based on his testimony, she was a be'ula already before, which again, as the case we spoke about of Eshes Kayin or Pchusim Baskim Moshani Me'echad makes her Sabek De'Raisa, then she will be forbidden to him. And that's Rebbe Elazar's chiddush, that we believe him even if he's not even necessarily so proficient in the knowledge of these areas. Now the Gemara asks on the entirety of this halacha. Did Rebbe Elazar really say this? That, which again, based on what the testimony of the husband himself is saying, that obviously his wife was Mizana, that is, must have been, because we know that it was there is only one suffix at least, and therefore that means that she was Mizana. But what he is ultimately saying is that she becomes forbidden based on what he is saying, and we do believe him. But the Gemara asks, how can you say that? But Vamir, Rebbe Elazar himself says that Eina Isha Neseres Al Baila, that a woman, a wife, cannot be forbidden on her husband. Ella, there's certain criteria in which that, when a person says that his wife was Mizana, it doesn't fit that criteria. Even if we believe you, that you say that you know she was Mizana, which he doesn't even know, he's just saying Pesach Pesuch, which due to circumstantial evidence must be, at least in one suffix, that she was Mizana, But Rabbi Elazar says that a wife can only be forbidden to her husband, elal iske kinui, only if, first of all, you have kinui, which is a warning that the husband gives to the wife, don't seclude yourself with that man. Moreover, there has to be another variable of vestira, where that there are witnesses that come and say that after this husband warned his wife not to seclude with that man, that they did seclude. Like the story that happened, which was a story with David and Bathsheba, that we see these elements, which the Gemara asks right away, and then amends. Betizbra, do you really entertain that this is what Rabbi Elazar said, that the way a woman only becomes forbidden to her husband is with kinu and stira, and like what happened with David and Bathsheba? But Maisa Shahoya Bekinu, stira hava? What do you mean? Do you think the story of David and Bathsheba had kinu, that Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, warned her not to seclude herself with David? That didn't happen. Void, miyasruah. Did it happen that Bathsheba became forbidden to her husband Uriah because of the kinu and stira that had happened with her and David? That can't be, because if she would have been forbidden to Uriah, then she actually would have been subsequently forbidden to David too, which obviously is not the case, because David consummated his relationship with Bathsheba. Because as the Gemara says, Masechta Seid, Daf Chazayin Amud Beis, that just like a woman that becomes forbidden to her husband through the parasha of Seita, so too she becomes forbidden to the Baal, which in this case was David HaMelech. So how can you even, you're asking from a statement of Rabbi Elazar, which that statement doesn't make sense. Because how can you say that the Maisa Shahi with David Bathsheba was with Kinan Stir when there was no Kinan Kinui, there was no warning, and moreover, she didn't become forbidden to him? So that the Gemara responds to that question, the Halakasha. Now that's not a difficult. In other words, because of the question that you're asking on the Rabbi Elazar that we're asking from, which is posing the contradiction, that won't refute the contradiction, because Hachikama. You have to explain what he was saying was that ein ha'ish neseres al baila, that a wife will not become forbidden to her husband, elal iske kinu istira, only based on kinu istira, mi maise shahaya. What that means is that we learn this halacha from the story that happened with Bathsheba and David, to loy have a kinu istira. In other words, yes, where you see the inverse over there, where there was not kinu istira, where Uriah didn't warn his wife to David, and therefore v'lo yitzra, yes, and that's why she did not become forbidden to David. And therefore, again, so that doesn't contradict, so that statement makes sense now. Meaning that a wife will only become forbidden with kinui and stira, and as we learned from that story, where it didn't have kinui, and therefore she wasn't forbidden. Now, but therefore, the Gemara says, mikamakam kasha. So the question comes back. It sounds like from that second statement of Rabbi Elazar that we're quoting, that kinui and stira in, how does a wife become forbidden to husband? It needs to have a warning, and after the warning that witnesses say that she's secluded, then she becomes forbidden to her husband. But Pesach Pesuch Loi, if the husband just comes and claims that obviously she was Mizana, yes, maybe it was almost circumstantially correct that for sure she was Mizana. It doesn't make a difference, because that in Halacha is not enough to make her forbidden to the husband. You need to have more criterion, that of a warning, that of witnesses that she's secluded, and then she'd become forbidden. So how can we say, how can Rabbi Elazar say this halacha pesach besuch that she's forbidden, but he himself says that you need to have other criterion to create an iser? Now the Gemara asks on the question, well, taimeich, according to your diuk, your inference you're making from the second statement of Rabbi Elazar that we're quoting, that, oh, it's only with kinui and stira, and therefore it shouldn't work with pesach besuch, but then you should say the same thing, what, you're going to say kinui and stira in that the only way a woman becomes forbidden to her husband is if there was a warning and seclusion, but Adam Lai, but that if there were witnesses that saw that she was Mizana, then she wouldn't be forbidden to husband, because no, you're saying that you need to have a kinui and stira. That's the procedure that needs to happen. If you didn't have that, even if there are witnesses that saw that she had an illicit relationship, it doesn't make a difference, but how can you say that? How can you say that if you have two witnesses that saw that she was Mizana, that she won't be forbidden without kina? But the pasuk says clearly in Dov Dvarim Chav Dalet, says ki motzo be'ervas davar. If you find that there is something immorally, that there was an immoral relationship with this woman, and the Gemara learns elsewhere, dava, that it's two witnesses, that then she becomes forbidden to her husband. Moreover, there's the pasuk of Vehiloi Nitfasa, which talks about in the parasha of Seita, that if she wasn't forced, then she's forbidden to the husband. So you see clearly that as long as there's verifiable facts of, let's say, with two witnesses, that she is forbidden to her husband. So you cannot make a diuk from Rabbi Elazar saying that only through kinui and stira. So rather the resolution of this question is as follows. So how do you understand the second statement of Rabbi Elazar? If it's obviously not only through Kenan Stira, as we see it could happen, we're just two witnesses without a warning, without necessarily this criteria. It's like this. What Rabbi Elazar was saying was, Ein ha'isha neseres al bayla be'ed echad. A woman, and this is what the part of the sentence that wasn't said in there. Yes, it's saying a woman does not become forbidden to her husband with one witness, and that's because, as the Gemara learns in Masech the Saita and Daf Gimel Mabez, that it says, Kimotza be'erves davar. Davar we learn out from Mamanis, from the halachas of monetary law, which also says davar, which there we know that it requires two witnesses. Here also, by a woman being forbidden to her husband, you need two witnesses. Now, so therefore, elibishne eid. So the truth is, you really need two witnesses. Now, however, what Rabbi Elazar was saying was that she will not become forbidden to her husband with one witness, Ella, but he was saying, but Vikina and Stira, but when there is a warning of a husband, if there's two witnesses that say that the husband was there when the husband warned her, and there are witnesses that saw her be secluded with this man after that she was warned, that is what he's saying, that a filibe eid echad, even if regarding her being defiled, meaning the actual act of znus, there's only one witness that saw that, Name, still then it would be believed for her to be usher to the husband. And that's because, as the Pasuk says in Memidbar Hey, it says, V'nistra v'hinitma, if she's secluded and she becomes tame. Now it says there in the Pasuk, V'eid ein ba. Now there's no aid. Now the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechta Saita that wherever the Torah says aid, although that sounds singular, it's actually a reference to two witnesses. Now the Torah is saying that aid ein ba, which means to say that there's not two witnesses, but that there's one. Then the Pasuk says, V'hiloi netfatsa, that means if she's not forced, then she's forbidden. Now, why would she be forbidden if there's only one witness that says that she was mezana? The reason is because that's what's called in halacha, regalayim ladavar. There's circumstantial evidence and reason to believe, because, look, he first warned her about this man, and we have two witnesses verifying the warning. We have two witnesses that saw her being secluded. And one witness is testifying that she became tamei. So that is what the Pasuk says, that she becomes a Vadai Saita, and not just what's called a Savik Saita. And therefore, then she wouldn't be able to drink the May Saita. That's only for someone that we have doubt. That's considered a Vadai. That is the halacha that Rabbi Elazar is teaching. That is, no, of course, it's not only through Kinyan Stira. What did we mean? What did Rabbi Elazar mean when he says it's only through Kinyan Stira? Meaning for Eid Echad. That a woman's not forbidden with one aid, you need two witnesses, but when you have kinu and stira, and then one aid, then she'll be forbidden. Oh, now, based on this explanation, there's no contradiction in Rabbi Elazar. Because upesach pesuach, when the husband claims that he found the entryway open, where he's coming to make the woman forbidden on himself, he's believed kishnei eidim dami. That is like when there's two witnesses, and the reason is because it's so clear to him that she obviously had B beforehand, which we explained the Eishes Kayin or Pchusim Bas Kimel Shalim Yemechad, that someone there's only one suffix, where, as we said, obviously you don't need to have only two witnesses, and that the witnesses are only to verify the facts, because we see that it works even with one aid. When you have the circumstances and the evidence mounting to say that she was Mizana. Now, and therefore, since a person's believed regarding himself like two witnesses, Pesach Pesuch will work, because moreover, we see that the contradiction from Elazar is not true either. You don't need just Kinu and Stira, because as the Gemara said, it's obviously not, because two witnesses work without Kinu and Stira. And therefore, Pesach Pesuch, according to Elazar, will work because a person's believed regarding himself like two witnesses, because that's just to verify the facts. And he knows that she was a Be'ulah because he found a Pesach Pesuch. And therefore, that's not contradicted by Rabbi Elazar, who says, you need kinyan stira, that's only when there's eid echad. When there's eid echad, that's the chiddush that kinyan stira will work. But Pesach Pesuch is like kishnei eidim dami. Now, then the question becomes, navachi teima, maisa shahaya bimnei maloy asrua. Then the question becomes, then, by that story, that incident that happened with David and Bathsheba, now, based on what we had said before, that the only we had assumed in the question that the only way a woman becomes forbidden is with kinyan and stira, so then we said, oh, that makes sense. Rabbi Elazar is saying is that ma'isa shahaya, where there was no kinyan or it didn't warn her, and therefore she wasn't forbidden to David. But now, based on the way we're resolving it now, that no, you don't need only kinyan and stira. That's just to say, when there's only one aid, then kinyan and stira will combine to make her forbidden. But when you have witnesses, or like we said, even Pesach Pesuch, then she'll be forbidden. So by David, where many witnesses knew, everyone knew about this incident, why didn't she become forbidden to him? It's just to verify the facts. And the facts are, we know that she was mezana with David, so why wasn't she forbidden? So that the Gemara says two answers. Either because hasam einesava, there she was forcibly violated. A woman that's forcibly violated and that her husband is a non-kayin, she's not forbidden to her husband and hence not forbidden to the bayal. That's why she was permitted subsequently to David. Or the Ibai same, or if you want, you could say, based on a different halacha, which based on that halacha, she wasn't going to be forbidden to David. And that is as we continue Ahmed Beis, where he said that David, any soldier that went out in the fighting the war of David HaMelech, get Krisis Kaisav L'Ishte, would first write a divorce document to his wife. And in it, he stipulated that if he dies in the war, because he didn't want to create any problematic situations where we don't know if he died or not, if he doesn't come back, or if he dies, that it should be a get from this date that it's being written. Now, Urya subsequently died in the war. Since he died, that means to say from the moment he left, which David only had, was together with Bathsheba after that Urya had already left, even though Urya wasn't dead yet, but it was retroactively a get from when he left, and therefore she was never an Eishes Ish, and that's why she wasn't subsequently forbidden to David. Tafsir, like it says, a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph by the Mochama when in the times of Shaul HaMelech, where Yishai said to his son David, Vesachecha tifke l'sham. Now go ahead and check out how your brothers are doing. Ves aruvasum tikach. And that which is the intermingling of your brothers, you should take. Now, as the Gemara will shortly explain, that's a reference to a get. And David learned from his father Yishai, who wanted to make sure that we shouldn't have these problems of people dying and their wives are stuck, that he did the same thing for those who fought in his wars when he was later king. He did the same thing, which, as the Gemara explains, my vassal or vassum tikach, what did Yishai tell his son David to go to his brothers who are fighting the war and take what's their intermingling from them? So Tan Rabbi Yosef, learned, it's dvarim hamu'uravim beinoy lebeina. It's the things which are intermingling, which are the connection between him and her, meaning to say the kedushin of his brothers with their wives. Tikach, take from them, meaning take it away from them. How do you take away the kedushin from them? By getting a get from them. That's what Yishai was telling his son David to go to his brothers fighting the war. And that's what David learned later on when he was king to do the same thing, that he would have his soldiers write this conditionary get, that if they died, that it was a divorce already from beforehand, and that's what happened with Urya. And therefore, that's why Bathsheba was not forbidden to David, either because it was an oinus, and therefore she wasn't forbidden to her husband to be forbidden to the bayal, or because retroactively she was already divorced because Urya ended up dying in the wartime. Now, Amar Abayi says, Afanan namatinina. We actually also learned this halacha of Rabbi Lazar in our Mishnah. That is, if the husband claims he comes to Bez in the morning after he consummates the relationship, he says, Pesach besoch mitzasi, I found that the entryway was open, that she's forbidden to him. And we don't say that, what does he know? He was a single man and he just gets married. He knows anything about that? We don't say that. And we could prove it from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah said, Besula nisis liyam revi. We said that a Besula gets married on a Wednesday. Now, the diak is, as we already explained this, liyam revi in, that he gets married on a Wednesday, liyam chamishu loy, but not on a Thursday. Now, my time, what's the reason why he gets married just on the Wednesday? The reason is, mishumi kruri daita, because he's going to calm down from this fact that, wait a second, I thought she was a Besula, it turns out she's not a Besula. And that if he's going to get married on a Thursday, the next time he's going to be able to come to Bezin to present his claim will be the following Monday. And by then, he would already be cooled down, and then he won't go ahead and present it to Besen. Now, the question is, Ulamai, what were the Rabbanon so particular about this that we didn't want him to cool down? No, we want him to come to Besen to present this to. And that's why they made a whole takana to get married on Wednesdays. What were they so concerned about? As the Gemara explains, Ila Mesav L'Ksuba, if our concern was that regarding him giving her a Ksuba, in other words, because he married her, with the assumption that she was a Besula. Now, if he's not going to come to Bezdin to present his claim, so he's just going to stay with the fact that what is his ksuba that he wrote for her, which was the ksuba of a Besula, and that's what he's going to end up giving her. But if he would come to Bezdin and present his claim, then he would be able to say, I don't have to give her ksuba, she's not even, it was a mekach toys, it's a mistake, whatever it is. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, what's the problem with that? Let him cool down, nesiv law. Let him go ahead and give her the ksuba of a Besula. What do we care? Why should we make her lose out her ksuba? he's willingly giving it. He's allowed to calm down and give her a gift, even if let's say it would be Mekach Tais. Why does that bother us? Why would that be a reason to make a Takana to get married on Wednesdays? Ella, rather, must be the reason is Lo Yisrael love. The reason why the rabbis were so particular, we don't want him to calm down. We want him to come to Bezna the next morning. And that's why we made on Wednesdays, because the next morning on Thursday the Bezna is open, is because to make her forbidden to him. Because we don't want him to hold on to a woman that's actually forbidden to him. Now, how would that be? Because he's coming with a claim and saying, look, she wasn't a basula. Obviously, she had relations with another man before me. Now, obviously, what we see is that when he comes and makes a claim in Beis Din, that would make her forbidden to him. So, Zokt Abaya, my love, obviously, we're talking about the Ketoyin Tainis Pesach Besuach. What type of claim would he be coming that would say that she's not a Besula, and therefore, she obviously had a relation with another man before me? And again, as we explained, either she's an Eshes Kayin, or it was from under the age of 3, but it's something that would allow it, at least, that he's believed regarding himself to make her forbidden to him. So you see that he is believed to make her forbidden by claiming that he saw that it was Pesach Besulim, that there were no Besulim. Another Gemara says, Loi, no, it's no right, Rabbi Elazar. The Ketoyin, Tainis Damim, it's talking about when he has the claim of blood, where he has a clear-cut, verifiable claim, where he says, look, this is the cloth that we had used, and there's no dam. And if she was a basula, we would have found dam. And therefore, there, where you can't say he didn't know, like he's not so proficient, of course, the dam is the proof in itself, then of course we're going to believe him, and that would make her forbidden. But regarding what Rabbi Elazar's chiddush and Pesach Besuach would say, no, maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about. He was never married, he never had tashmish before, and therefore he's thinking it was open. It was easier than he had imagined. But that doesn't mean that he knows what he's talking about. And therefore maybe there's no riot Rabbi Elazar, and maybe Pesach Besuach he would not be believed. But it's talking about when he sees there's no blood, there's no dam, that's obviously that she wasn't a basula, and that for that should be asur to him. That's why we want to make it on Wednesdays. Now, continuing on this theme of what Rabbi Elazar's halacha was, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he says, moreover, he says, Ha'imar Pesach Besuach Metzasi, same case. He says, if someone says, I found that the entry was open, then Neman he's believed even Lahav Sida Kesubasa. Shmuel says, even based on his own testimony, he's believed to make her lose out her Kesuba, that was the Chazaka that she was a Besula. Now, later on, the Gemara will explain why would that be? How can his claim, where of course he doesn't want to pay, and he could just make up a claim, how would that help? The reason is the Gemara will explain because there's a chazaka. There's a presumption that we make in halacha that a person will not make a huge chasna, a huge wedding. The next morning, he'll lose out the whole wedding. He spent who knows how much money to get married to this woman. Next morning comes, and he loses the whole thing because it was in vain. It was to get the marriage started, and now he doesn't even have that. He wouldn't do it if he was just making it up. And therefore must be, and that's what the Chazaka actually helps to prove it to him and doesn't have to give the Ksuba, is because if he really didn't like her, and therefore he didn't want to stay married with her, he wouldn't have made this whole huge wedding and then for a total loss, a total waste, and therefore must be he's saying the truth, and that's why he doesn't have to give the Ksuba. Now, but actually, Amr Rabbi Yosef, he asks, my Kamash Malon. It's not even a chiddush of Shmuel. What's he teaching of Tanina? This actually seems to be an explicit Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says over there, Ha'eichel Eitzel Chamav. If someone's eating by his father-in-law in the time of engagement, now when we mean engagement, we mean halacha engagement, as in Talmudic times, they had erisin, which is what's done in contemporary times at the chasna itself, which is the giving of the ring, and then nisuin would be months later. So in the time of a halacha engagement, he was eaten by his father-in-law, Be'Yehuda, in the lands of Yehuda, which is an area in Eretz Yisrael. If he was there by his father-in-law's house, Shloi Be'edim, without witnesses to watch him and testify that he never was meyachad, that he never had been secluded with his kala, then Eina Yochel Litten Tainis Besulim. Then he can't claim anymore when he enters into chuppah and consummates his relationship and say, wait a second, there's no Besulim. And it's a Mekach Tais, this is an acquisition that was a mistaken acquisition, he can't make that claim. Because in the lands of Yehuda, they would actually seclude the Chasan and Kala. And the reason, as Gemara will explain later, is because they wanted each other to be comfortable and familiar with each other when they would finally consummate the relationship. And therefore, you can't come and claim that there's no Besulim because maybe you yourself did that when you had been secluded with her at the time of engagement. And therefore, there's no belief system regarding him and coming with that claim. Now that's what the Mishnah says regarding the lands of Yehuda. Now, the diuk is, Yehuda hu delei matzei ta'in, only if you're in the part of Eretz Yisrael of Judea, that then you can't make that claim. Habagal matzei ta'in, but if you're in the lands of the Galil, then you can make such a claim, because there they didn't have yichud, and if he's having a consummated relationship after the chuppah, based on the chazakah that she's a basula, and he finds that she's not a basula, then obviously he could make such a claim. Now the question is, ulamai, what is the claim that would be made in the lands of Galil? Ila Yisraelov, if we were to be making the wife forbidden on him, well then the question is, Yehuda mai loy? Then why, if it was from someone from the lands of Yehuda, why wouldn't he be able to also make her forbidden on himself? If the chassan says, I know that at the time that we were engaged, even though maybe we were secluded, I did not have be with her, and therefore it must be that if I'm finding her a ba'ula now, must have been that she was mezan with someone else, so then based on the principle of Shavi Anafshe Chaticha Di Yisura, for sure she should be asked to him, because he's saying, I know I didn't do it, and therefore she must have been with someone else, making her forbidden to me. And therefore, what would be the difference between the Galil or Yehuda? El Olav, so must be what it would be the case that's a discrepancy between Yehuda and the Galil, which we're saying that you would be believed to make such a taina if you were in the Galil. That's lafsi the ksuba, so that's to create a loss in her ksuba, or the katoin taina, and that what's the case told him, that he had stated a claim. Now, in Yehuda, based on his claim, he cannot make her lose her ksuba. And the reason is because we would say that, of course, when you were engaged, you were ba'alau. Now, in the Galil, he could make the claim because they never had yichud. So what do you mean? I of course, the man will say that he never had bia because I was never even secluded with him. Now, on that is where Rav Yosef concludes his question at Shmuel. So what do you see clearly from that Mishnah? My love, the katoin tainis pesel basuach, where the husband is saying that I found the entry gate open. Now, although that there's no witnesses over here and there's no verifiable claim, but we're only relying on him, but we say, as we had mentioned before, that if it wasn't true, then he wouldn't make a loss for the whole chasm that he spent months investing in, and that if he hated her, he would have divorced her right away and not exerted all that effort in the suda of Nisun that he ended up making. Now, in the lands of Yehuda, he's not believed, because maybe in the time when they were engaged, he actually had be with her, but he forgot. Or, out of the love that he had for her, maybe he did her raw, which he went and he penetrated a little bit, and he doesn't know that just with that what he thought was just a hug, he didn't think he was having full cohabitation, but he actually broke her besulim in that way. And therefore, in the lands of Yehuda, he wouldn't be believed, because by them being secluded, it's very likely that somehow he went himself and broke her besulim. So yes, even if you say in Yehuda, what's he going ahead and getting married and making a whole nesun, he wouldn't create a loss there. Also, you're right, he wouldn't. It's just that he forgot himself that he had bia, or because he didn't realize with the physical touch that he was able to break her hymen. Now, but one thing is that Rav Yosef was asking about, at least in the Galil, where they never had yichud, and therefore he's believed to create a loss, even for her kesuba. What's Shmuel teaching? Of course, that's essentially what the Mishnah is saying. In the Galil that you believe, which we proved the belief is regarding creating loss in the Ksuba, you see that, as we explained the reason, based on that Chazakah, that person would not get married. What's Shmuel teaching? The Gemara says, Loi, no. Truthfully, I could tell you that something that's not verifiable, the husband would not be believed to create a loss in the Ksuba, because you want to make someone lose money based on just what your understanding is. And truthfully, the deek of the Mishnah later on, that would you be medayik, that in the Galil you could make such a claim, is talking about the Katoin Tainas Damim. Where, for example, where there were attendants, they were attending to the Chasn and Kala, and make sure that nothing wrong, no one did anything that was inappropriate. Let's say if that the Chasn saw Dam, but he went and made believe it wasn't there, and he threw it out, that's a clear-cut taina where the cloth is there, and they made sure that was the cloth, and they went and they see the cloth and there's no dam. That's a clear-cut, that's a taina brua. That's where in the Galil he would be believed to say that, look, obviously you're losing the ksuba based on the taina of damim, because that's a clear-cut taina. But from the mission later on, you wouldn't know regarding what my Chiddush Shmuel is saying. I'm saying even further, And of course, that could be included in that Mishnah, but you wouldn't know it from that Mishnah, that when he's saying the Taina of Pesel Basuach, that even then, not only would he believe to make her Asur on him, because that would be even the lands of Yehuda, but it's even to make her lose her Ksuba, because since they never were Meyached, and yes, it's only based on him that we know that it was Pesuach, but he wouldn't have had this whole wedding, and we have the Chazakah that of course he's saying the truth, because if he hated her, he wouldn't have invested so much money, and that's why he doesn't have to give her the ksuba. But again, from that mission later on, all you would know is that, yes, Nigalil, when we see that there's signs of no besulim, then we say that obviously it wasn't him, because he wasn't miyachid, and therefore he could create a loss, but we'd only know possibly that it's by Taina's damim, where that's a clear kataina. And if it's not him, because it was Galil, so then he could create a loss in the Ksuba, but we wouldn't know that it would even be talking about Pesach Pesuach, which is not a Raya Brewer. It's only based on his testimony, and that's what Shmuel's saying. That's what I'm being Mechadish, because that's coming from a different Svara of the Chazaka, that a person would not invest in the Sudis Nisuin if he really hated her. Must be that he really had assumed that she's a Besula, and what he's claiming must have truth to it based on the Chazaka, and that's why he doesn't even have to give her her Ksuba.